Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. We're talking about Genesis 1-2, when the earth, the whole earth, was under dark waters, and the Spirit of God moved on those waters. And God said, speaking in the Hebrew tongue, Yehiye Or. And in the Hebrew Bible it says, and Yehiye Or. Let there be light, and there was light. God moving on the earth, God working. And then he proceeds to bring the order of things that we know today in 6 days of creation. Now an angel, God said, and I'm going to start with this, Genesis 1:26. God gave me actually a vision. And he said, I did not do this in a corner, the creation. All were watching when I stepped to center stage and made a declaration which rocked all creation as it reverberated from the regions of glory to the regions of the damned. The words of Genesis 1:26 took on a new tone. My heart could hear it loud, deliberate words, as they may have been called out across the wide expanses of creation. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. What is a man? What is a man? What is a man? Actually, God said, Adam, let us make Adam, which means man. Ma'adam, 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 the angels must have said. Angelic questions may have resounded in response to the startling news. For one angel even dared to ask the Creator, we are told, Psalm 8 records his question. We know these are the words of an angel, for the New Testament tells us so in Hebrews 2, 5-7. Some say that angel was Satan. I don't believe so. I believe he may have been more of a Peter-type angel, daring to ask what others were wondering. Or perhaps the angel was led to articulate the questions for our enlightenment. In whatever way it occurred, God chose to record the angelic inquiry in his holy word. Psalm 8, 3-6, the angel is talking. He starts out bragging on God. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Now I'm adding this. I do have one question, however. But I'm not adding this because this is his question. Verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man, God, that you thought him up? What is this thing that you had in your mind? And Ben-Adam, the son of man, that you visit him. Ben-Adam is the Hebrew word for man, mankind. What is this son of mankind, this human, that you visit him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Now, we're going to examine this in modern vernacular, and I'm reading from my book, The Blood and the Glory, page 31. Here's his question. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, this angel just had watched the wonders of the work of God in creation. So he began by complimenting the Creator. Then he asked the big question, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is a man? What is this being, O Creator, that he has a place in your mind? And the son of man that you visit him? Angels may have had to call on God or visit God, but here is one whom God visits in the garden. Next line, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Actually, the Hebrew word is not angels, it's Elohim, the plural word for God. It shows God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For eternity past, the angels had known this order, the triune God, archangels and angels. Now, there's a new order in creation. Man is ranked just under the Godhead. The angels didn't even know the position was open. And then the angel said, thou hast crowned him. Wonder of wonders to the amazed angel, God crowned man. He didn't ask Gabriel or Michael to do it. amid majesty and pageantry far surpassing any crowning of any earthly monarch, God himself arose and crowned his man. Who wears crowns? Kings. By this crowning, God fixed forever the place of man in God's heart and in God's plans. What was the crown made of? Of diamonds, of gold? No, God paved streets with gold. The crown was made of the most valuable substance in all creation. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. The crown was made of glory, God's glory. Glory, which may seem abstract to mankind, is highest heavenly reality. For the glory of God is God's presence manifested. The glory of God is God himself. God's glory sat upon man as his crown and clothed him as his covering. It fitted man for the fellowship he enjoyed with his Creator. God's word had gone forth. Man would have dominion over the works of God's hands. Satan challenged it. If he can stop God's word from coming to pass, he can defeat God. His tactics were simple. He tempted the will of man, the chooser. Man yielded and turned his will crosswise to the will of God. Some of, if not the, I think they're the, saddest words in the Bible are Genesis 3:8-10, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Early one Sunday morning, I was meditating on these things in preparation for the Sunday school class. I'd put on a roast for dinner, and I was fixing my hair in front of the wide mirror in our only bathroom before waking the family. From behind me, high and to the right, I heard a voice. It probably was not audible, but to me it seemed audible. When the question came, I knew it was the Lord. Do you know Romans 3:23? My first thought was, thank God it's one I know. I grew up in Baptist churches. Baptists lead people to the Lord down the Roman road. Romans 3:23 is a first step. So I whirled toward the voice and quoted rather glibly at first, For all have sinned and come short of... Ah! I gasped as I saw it. The last four words fell feebly from my lips, trailing almost to a whisper. The glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The voice spoke the revelation I'd glimpsed. That's what happened in the fall. I crowned man with glory. Man sinned and fell short of the glory. I felt I would faint with the revelation of the fall from such glorious heights to such heinous depths. Then the voice literally revived me with words based on Hebrews 2:10. But the captain of your salvation is bringing many sons to glory. I saw it for the first time, the circle of glory. Man was crowned with glory. He fell from the glory. Through Jesus Christ, he can return to the glory. Then in a flash of revelation across my spirit, I saw the predicament of the fall. To the right, high and lifted up, was the place of the throne of God. To the left, low and very low, stood Satan with man cringing at his side. Between the two places, there was a great gulf fixed. I heard these words. You always look at the fall from man's viewpoint. I want you to look at it from my viewpoint. Within my spirit, an automatic response arose. I will be happy to if you are pleased to show it to me. The reaction of a natural man, I heard, to a fallen son is to grab him and clasp him to his bosom. Had I clasped Adam to my bosom, I would have consumed him. My glory would have burned him up. And in him, mankind. Satan would have stopped my words from coming to pass, for I had spoken that man would have dominion over the works of my hands. Then I saw my first son, Terry. He stood tall, broad-shouldered, and thin at the waist, with a large silver buckle fastening the leather belt around his blue jeans. He was a bull rider, and it was a bull rider's buckle. I felt an urge to throw my arms around his middle in a tight squeeze. "What if you could not hug your son?" I heard. "For if you hugged him, you would consume him." I'm a hugging mother, so the Holy Spirit taught me with a hugging mother parable. Back then, when I hugged Terry, he would sometimes say, "Aw, Mom," but he liked it, and I did it anyway. But I somehow felt a little of God's position at the fall of man. In a new way, I understood how sin cannot stand in the presence of God. For it is written, "Our God is a consuming fire." What does he consume? Sin. I understood the precautions of the Old Testament. God's glory stood behind a thick curtain in the Holy of Holies. The high priest alone could enter there once a year on the Day of Atonement. And then he took great precautions. It wasn't that God did not want mankind in his presence. It was that man could not endure the glory of God. I thought of when the ark stumbled and the man put his hand forth and died. It wasn't that God was trying to get him. He just came in contact with the glory. Again, I saw the scene with Satan clasping the cowering man and laughing up at God across the gulf. He thought he'd won. He thought he'd succeeded in separating God and his man forever. Satan knew that Adam, who once delighted in the presence of God, would now be consumed by it. I heard his whining words, "What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now?" And I was made to know that God did not answer him. But I was also made to know that God had a plan which began in heaven before the foundation of the world. God did not need to do anything now. He'd already done something. And I saw the mystery of the church that had been hidden from the ages. The Lord Jesus Christ in his blood making us, coming to live in us. And I saw that marvelous revelation. He's Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's so much more that's in my book and so much more that we'll be talking about next week when we give to you what we gave this week at Osage Beach, the book of Ephesians and the glorious church. You may order from us my book, The Blood and the Glory, from which I've been reading, Brother Hagin's book, The Triumphant Church, both of them for $5 off the price they normally sell for. You can get both of them for $18, or you can buy one book. They'll give you the price when you call. Call 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or write us at Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. It would be good if you could give an offering for our radio broadcast when you write. This is Billy Brim. We're going to be talking more about next week, the book of Ephesians and the glorious church. For it is the church of the living God that is filled with glory. Shalom until Monday.